comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. We're here because you matter and you have a right to know. Let me quickly remind you about our free weekly newsletter. It is called The K-Files, and it's an excellent publication. It's been around for quite a while. There are people all over the world getting it. Why aren't you, if you're not getting The K-Files? It's free. So what's the excuse? There's no genius in sitting in the dark when light's available. Is there? I don't think so. Anyway, if you haven't subscribed yet, be sure you do. Just go over to the website, kevinsmithshow.com. Click on the link that says K-Files and subscribe, and you'll get a confirmation email. It has a link in it that you have to use to activate your subscription. And every week we have a number of people who subscribe and then don't activate their subscription. Well, if you don't activate it, you don't get the K-Files. All right, so be sure you do that. I got an email from someone very, very special, and I really appreciate it, and I'm going to tell you the story here in just a second. It's a short story. But you know, I've been doing this show for 11 years, and we get all kinds of email. I get email from people who love the show. I get email from people who hate the show. I get email from people that tell me I'm the greatest host that has ever been. And I get email from people that tell me I ought to go back to doing something else because I couldn't host a show, if my life depended on it. So I get all kinds of email, and that just goes with the territory. And I like all of the email, even though I don't agree with some of it. You know, the one that said I'm the greatest host ever, I don't agree with that. I do my best, but I'm certainly not the best who has ever been. But I'll tell you, in this genre, it's hands down, for Art Bell, as far as I'm concerned, the best that's ever been in this genre. But anyway, I got this email. And in 11 years, I've never gotten an email quite like this one. This email was from a 26-year-old veteran from Iraq. Okay, well, he's an American, but I mean, he served in Iraq. He's a veteran. He's 100% disabled. And he was writing to thank me because my show had helped him get his fight back. He said he's suffered from a lot of depression since coming back, and he's 100% disabled. But the show really helped him to get his fighting spirit back, and really helped him to start seeing things. He said the show has taken the blindfold off of his eyes and helped him to see things and understand things that he hadn't seen and understood before. Well, I have to tell you, that's a first. First time I've gotten a letter from a veteran telling me I helped him get his fight back. Ryan, we're glad you're back. And we'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And we have a little bit of a change of plans here. You may or may not be aware of that. Originally, we had planned on having one of our listeners on tonight. His name is Greg. He called when we were doing the shows about that thing and the object that appears in those pictures next to the sun from the Core 2A camera. And he took the photographs that we used, which... you know, those photographs are straight from the SETI site. You may remember that show where we had it linked, where you could just click on the picture about tonight's show, and it would take you to their site, and then all of those photographs were listed by day. And he was going to take those and do some processing and scrubbing of those to see if there had been any manipulation of the photographs and remove as much of the manipulation as possible. So that's what we had planned on. Our producer received email from him saying that he could not be with us tonight, and so we're going to reschedule him, but we are going to look at some photographs tonight nonetheless. How many space-going nations are there? Well, of course, everybody knows about NASA, so that's the United States. The Russians, Russian Space Agency, in fact, they have had manned space missions for longer than the United States has had. And you may or may not know, but you need to know that the first man in space was a Russian cosmonaut. And you talk about a heroic flight. Yuri Gagarin, who is deceased now, but Yuri Gagarin is the first man in space. And when I say it was heroic, imagine being the first person to climb into a space capsule atop a rocket and fly into space when no one else has ever done that. That's got to be spooky. Anyway, he's the first man in space. So there's us and the Russians. The Japanese are in space. The Chinese are not only in space, but have done a manned mission in space. The Indian Space Agency has done some incredible work in space, as have the Chinese. I think that's everybody. I'm not sure. I think that's everybody. Now, the French have a space program. And maybe, I'm not sure of any other. The British. And then there are, of course, a bunch of nations that cooperate with each of these space agencies. The Japanese Space Agency goes by the name JAXA, J-A-X-A. Like the American Space Agency goes by the name NASA, N-A-S-A. Well, JAXA sent... satellite up around the moon, and this is not recent now. It's not in the too distant past, but it was called the Cayuga satellite. And you remember, it had some very high-tech cameras on it. It had some very high-definition cameras on it, including a high-definition TV camera. So JAXA got probably up. I forgot to mention the European Space Agency. But JAXA got some of the highest definition photographs of the moon's surface that anybody has ever gotten. Now, I think probably the highest definition photographs that we've ever seen of Mars come from the European Space Agency. In my opinion, those are just stellar, and no pun intended. Those are incredibly clear photographs of Mars. But JAXA got incredibly clear photographs of the moon. I wonder, you know, all of the photographs that I have seen of the JAXA mission to the moon, all of those are in black and white, except when they turn to shoot the Earth, and that's in color. So I wonder where the color photographs of the moon might be from JAXA. So we know they had color capability, because when they turned and shot pictures of the Earth, those were in color. Now, it is something of an enigma and a mystery as to why the space agencies want us to believe the moon is all gray, and or shades of gray, various different shades of gray. It's a mystery to me why they want us to believe that. We know from Jose Escamilla, who's a filmmaker, and he's been on this show a number of times. He shared with us film that he has produced that show the color photographs of the moon, which are not at NASA. The color photographs of the moon were at the USGA. Was it USGA? USGS? And but they were not at NASA. But there were full color photographs of the moon, and it looks quite different, very different from those gray, black and white photographs that they always show us. It's a mystery to me why every space agency wants you to see the moon as shades of gray, when we know for sure it's not. We know for sure there are color photographs of the moon, and we have seen a great many of those color photographs of the moon now because of Jose Escamilla. So why do they all want us to see the moon in shades of gray? Don't know. But even though the JAXA photographs are shades of gray, they're black and white, they are really high-definition photographs. And there are one or two photographs that just might not be in black and white. You'll see. And so we're going to take a look at some JAXA photographs. And tonight, I've called the show Luna's Ticks. Now, the reason I've called it Luna's Ticks is because, of course, the moon is actually called Luna. The Earth is Terra. The moon is Luna. And, you know, that's in Latin. And those are the official names of the planet and its moon, Terra and Luna. Now, the reason I've called it Luna's Ticks, we use the word tick, T-I-C. We use this word when we talk about someone that has some little idiosyncrasies, where, you know, some little strange things that they do. I used to know a guy that about every third or fourth word would wipe his chin as he talked to you. He'd just keep wiping his chin. And he'd say two or three words, and then he'd wipe his chin with his hand. That's what we would call a tick. It's an anomaly. It's not something we normally expect to see. Well, Luna has some ticks. Luna has some anomalies. And we're going to take a look at a couple of those. And then, when we have done so, when I show you these photographs, and for those who are listening, I'll describe them for you. I encourage you to become members so you can watch the show for 23 cents a day. Come on, that's nothing. 23 cents. And then you can see everything as I talk about it. But after we've done that, I will open up the telephone lines and we'll discuss these pictures and we will discuss whatever else happens to be on your mind within our genre. We have folks listening tonight from all across the United States, from east to west, north to south. We have people listening all over Mexico and South America. We have people listening all over the UK, all over Europe, and that includes all of Europe, old Europe, northern Europe, eastern Europe, all of that, Russia, Asia. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation with one of our listeners in Cambodia at about 2:30 this morning. So that was interesting. Well, we have listeners all over Africa, all over Asia, all over Australia, everywhere you can think of. And above all of you, above you all, every night there is that moon. It's an important feature in our sky. It's important to the life cycles here on Earth. But it's got some weird stuff about it. It's got some anomalies. Well, the first picture that we're going to take a look at is sort of just a strip of photograph. Now, this strip of photograph, or this strip photograph, shows a piece of the moon's surface, and in this piece of the moon's surface, we see in the lower left it's mainly smooth. Right up through the middle, it looks like there are some craters. There's a double ringed crater over on the right side, and then way up at the top of the picture, it looks like we're at that point getting into some mountains up in there. It's no longer relatively flat, but we're beginning to get into some mountains. And if you just look, sort of take a gross assessment of this picture, we see there are three white, bright white spots, objects. Now, we're not going to look at all of them. I just didn't have time to do everything that has to be done to look at all of these up close. But the one that I thought was the most interesting, at least to me, is this one, this crater on the right side of the picture, and it's a double-ringed crater. Now, it's very, very odd. If you look very carefully, you'll see that there's an inner ring and then an outer ring. And you'll notice that the inner ring is not circular at all. The inner ring is shaped like a stop sign. And then there's that white object sitting right there in that inner ring. The outer ring has rounded, curved features, but the inner ring does not. The inner ring is shaped like a stop sign. So that drew my attention, and those who are watching on our TV channel, I've put a red circle around the white object in that inner ring, and we're going to take a look at it and at a portion of that so-called crater. When you look at these pictures from altitude, and remember, this is a satellite photograph taken by the Cayuga satellite, but when you look at these from altitude, it just looks like the moon. Right? You don't see any detail, not really. And so what we have to do is we have to zoom in and see if we can get some detail. Now, let me say that whenever you look at the Cayuga photographs, the originals are high definition. What we are working with are not the high definition, but copies that have been compressed down to make them fit into website format. In other words, if you put one that's extremely high definition on a web page, it takes a long time for it to load, and the more people that are looking at it at the same time, well, that eats up a lot of bandwidth because a lot of people are trying to load a very high definition picture. So these are really clear pictures, but these are not the original high def pictures. These are only the pictures that I was able to obtain. Nevertheless, because the originals were high definition, we can zoom in quite a bit before it begins to go pixely on us, and that's what we're going to do. All right, so let's zoom in, and when we do, we've zoomed in about as far as you can before it goes pixely. And when you look at this, you might say, well, that's kind of a odd object, but what is it? And it's not real clear because we've zoomed in a lot. It's not real clear. But one of the things that you also do is you let your eye not notice loads of things that are in that photograph. When we look at this photograph, we can clearly see when I said that the inner ring is shaped like a stop sign, you can clearly see that there are sharp corners that make the turn around the edges of the stop sign shape. They're not accidental. Couldn't possibly be accidental and be that shape. I want to go back to the original photograph and point something out. This is supposed to be a crater caused by some type of impact, right? But look at the floor of the crater. There's no big hole in it. The floor of that crater has stuff in it, but this is not a big deep depression in the ground where something struck the moon. Or at least if it did, if something struck there and caused this, it doesn't make a lot of sense because it didn't leave a big hole in the ground. So that's kind of odd. But also, it's very odd when you look at the stop sign shaped ring in the center. That's a deep ditch that causes that center ring. And it's very precisely milled out. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about this these photographs from the JAXA Cayuga satellite. And by the way, let me just say, I didn't say it, but I think the Japanese space agency, JAXA, is to be congratulated for a fantastic mission. Just a really, really phenomenally successful mission. So, as we went to break, I was talking about the fact that the floor of this alleged crater has some features in it, but there's no big central hole. Now, there are some holes, smaller ones, where perhaps smaller meteorites have crashed over time. But take a good look at the picture if you're watching our TV channel, because this picture is a lot like, remember those puzzles that we used to do when we were kids? Or it's not, well, I guess it's a puzzle. But anyway, there's a picture, you know, they're usually in kids' magazines, and there's a picture, and then there are hidden items in the picture. And maybe there's, you know, 20 hidden items, and you try to find as many of those hidden items as you can. Well, this is very much like that. So take a good close look, and see what you see, because it's it is very much in that vein. Okay, there's a lot of stuff here, a lot of stuff. I think those who are watching are about to be amazed, because I have only marked as much as I had room on the screen to mark, and there's a great deal more. This picture shows pretty clearly. Now, I want to tell you, those who are watching, what I've done is I've brightened the picture and increased the contrast. You can see the difference between the JAXA picture and what I've done. What I've done is I've brightened it just a little bit and increased the contrast just a little bit to bring these features out. I'll tell you very plainly the reason is that I did that, because you after looking at this, you will see that all these features are visible in the JAXA photograph. But the reason I did this is when we transmit this and it comes to you and you're watching it, it loses some of its brilliance. Just being transmitted through the signal that way, it loses some of the brightness and brilliance. So I've increased it just a little bit. I've boosted it just a little bit. And maybe about 3 to 5% is all, to make this show up better. But one thing that you can see is that this outer ring, remember, this is a so-called crater that's a double-ringed crater. And the outer ring of this, we'll call it a crater, the outer ring is circular, while the inner ring is shaped like a stop sign. And the outer ring, when we take a look at it, we can see that it's actually in ruins. And apparently all of this is in ruins. But the outer ring is, at least from this photograph, it appears to be a double wall. And I don't mean an earthen wall or a lunar wall made of, you know, like just a berm. I'm talking about a constructed wall. Now, this wall appears to have sort of steps. It's, you know, it appears to be sort of like steps on the top of this wall. We can see that if you look on the left side, we're going to move from left to right, but if you look on the left side of this picture, we see a breach in that wall that's rectangular, and we can see that there's a space between the two walls, so that, like, you could walk between the two walls on the top of the wall. Moving to the right, we have a label that says structures, and then there's arrows going in all different directions pointing to different structures that appear. And the arrow pointing up and toward the upper left-hand corner, if you look right at the tip of that arrow, that actually looks like some kind of a factory kind of thing with a smokestack sticking up in the middle of it. Let your eye wander down from where it says structures, the arrow pointing down to the right. At the tip of that arrow is a building. And again, it looks like some sort of industrial thing. Now, when I say a building, I want you to understand. Look, let me pause right here and let's sort of get everybody on the same page. I'm not saying, when I say it's a building, I'm not saying that it is in fact a building. I'm saying that's what it looks like. Okay? That's what it looks like. Is it possible that we could get better pictures, clearer pictures, that would show us that it's something else? Well, sure it is. But these are the best that are out there that I was able to find. And it looks like a building, some kind of an industrial structure of some type. And if you look very closely, it actually looks like you can see a door, an opening on the left side of it. And it backs up to a big, tall wall. Now, actually, when I first looked at this, you're going to laugh, but that I have it labeled a tall wall with openings. That, to me, looks like railroad cars. I'm sure it isn't, but that's what it looks like to me. Railroad cars, and on the top of these railroad cars that are lined up there, it looks like air vents sticking up on the tops of these rail cars. Now, if they were in fact rail cars, these would be massive. I'm sure that's not what this is, but it has that appearance to me. I mean, if you're trying to imagine what does it look like, they're all kind of shades of gray, but they look like railroad cars, and if it were railroad cars, right at the back would be, that's a tanker car. It's kind of round, cylindrical shaped. And then there are rectangular ones in front of it. So I don't know what that is, but that's I just labeled it a tall wall. But it has that appearance of kind of like rail cars. Now that white object, let's move up to the white object that caught my attention. And I'm looking at this area, this crater, because of that white object, and because it is the only double-ringed crater in the photograph that we started from. That object looks like it could be the remains of a dome. It's like the right half or the right quarter even. It might just be a quarter, I don't know. The right half of a dome that is in ruins. Maybe it's been blown up or something. I don't know. But it's very definitely got that dome kind of shape to it. Now look right under where it says structures. Where it says structures is almost in the middle of the picture. Look right under it. And I've got some yellow brackets and a question mark. I don't know what that is. But it appears to be attached to the side of that outer wall. And it's reflective as if it is metallic. Now, couple of other things I want to point out, and then I'll move forward. I want to point out what our TV audience is seeing indicated with red arrows. I have three different colors that I've used to label things. Yellow, red, and green. Okay, let's look at the red arrows. The first red arrow on the left is pointing to where the double wall seems to come to a break. It seems like if you were walking down that double wall and you get to right there and you stepped any further, you would fall down to where the wall resumes many feet below. The wall drops there. The level drops, okay? Think of the Great Wall of China and the way the Great Wall of China in some places rises up the side of a mountain at a steep incline, maybe levels off a little bit, and then drops down the other side of the mountain sharply. Well, that's what this looks like right there. But right there where it drops down, this picture is very blurry. Right at where the wall drops down. Now, I don't know if JAXA did that, or or what? I mean, if this was a NASA picture, I would assume that NASA had blurred out because we've caught them doing it. So I don't know if JAXA engages in that sort of thing. I'm not sure. But that is very, very blurry. Now, if you compare that to the area where I've got the yellow brackets with a question mark right under structures, you can see there is something that appears to be approximately the same size and shape as that area that's blurry up there next to the, where the wall drops down. It appears to be much the same size and possibly the same shape. The shape of what's blurred out up there is cylindrical. It's standing upright, and it's cylindrical. All right. Let our eyes move now to the right, to the other set of red arrows. There are two. One points up, one points down, and they are pointing to the top and bottom of something. And then you see to the right of that, I have green brackets that are also bracketing the same area. Let your eye focus on that, and you can see a blurry shape in the middle between the red arrows and the green brackets. That shape is, well, folks, that's the shape we would expect to see for a rocket. It's tall, cylindrical, it tapers like a bullet head toward the top. So if they tried to blur this out, they didn't do a real good job. We can see the shape. So, is that an ancient rocket? Now, look, I know a lot of people hear this and they say, oh, that Smith guy's nuts. Listen to what he's saying. And that's on the moon, and everybody knows there's no atmosphere on the moon. Oh, you think so? And see, if there's no atmosphere, there can't be anybody living up there, right? You think there's no atmosphere on the moon? Really? How is it that astronomers have seen clouds and have photographed them and they've been videotaped by JAXA? We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about the Japanese satellite that they sent to the moon called Cayuga, the Cayuga satellite. They sent it over to the moon, and it came back with, well, it didn't come back. It actually crashed into the moon on purpose. But it sent back some absolutely phenomenal photographs in high definition. The moon as we have never seen it before. So we were looking at this photograph from Cayuga, and I was talking about this shape that's been blurred out. Actually, maybe they didn't do it, but it looks like it's been done. And if you look carefully, you can see that it's got a first, second, and third section. This thing is huge. It's tall. It's standing up above the surface. It's on an area that looks like it might be a launch area. Now, remember, I have said, and I'm saying again, it may not be that. But it looks like it. That's what it looks like to me. So this area is an area that appears to be in ruins. It appears that there was at one time some pretty high-tech industry going on there, and there's actually even an area that I didn't mark that looks like it could be a bit of a ziggurat. And I'm not going to a ziggurat is the stepped pyramid that, you know, is kind of flat and squatty instead of high and sharp pointed. But it sort of looks like that, and maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not going to. I'll tell you where it is, and those who are looking at our TV channel can find it. You see where the label is? It says tall wall with openings. Right above the end of the word openings, there's a pile of rocks there in the shape of a ziggurat. Okay, so pretty impressive stuff, right? Cayuga is indeed an impressive mission. But at the end of the mission, they crashed the Cayuga into the moon. We have what they say is the last picture that Cayuga took before it crashed. It seems to me, when you look at this, that I don't know at what rate it was shooting pictures. I don't know, you know, one picture every 5 seconds or whatever. I don't know. But this, they say, is the last one, and it looks to me like it had time. It was not that close to the ground yet. It had time to shoot at least one or two more. I would really like to see if it did, but they say this is the last one. This last picture, the Cayuga is flying into the shaded side of the moon. It has gone over the horizon. It's now flying into the shaded side of the moon. And this picture is 100% black, except there are three spots in this otherwise totally black photograph. And I mean really black. There are three spots where something is lit. In other words, there are three lighted spots. The one on the left is far out on the horizon, and when I zoomed in on it, there's just not enough there to see anything other than it's lighter. You know, it's lit. That's all you can see. So we're going to take a look at the other two. I zoomed in on these other two. And the one in the middle, interestingly, all three of these are in an apparently straight line. The one in the middle is the brightest lit and appears to be the largest area. If you can imagine a stage where everything is totally, totally dark. You're in an auditorium, the stage, the auditorium is totally dark. Imagine, if you will, a spotlight coming on, and a very focused spotlight so that it lights up only one circle in the middle of the stage. But it doesn't, it's so focused, it doesn't light up anything else around it, just that circle. That's what that looks like, except there's no spotlight beam coming from above. Meaning, then, that the lights that we're looking at have to be coming from ground level. So let's zoom in and take a look at that one in the middle. When we zoom in and take a look at the one in the middle, we can see, indeed, there's a lot of light there. Apparently, from external or outdoor lighting, there's a lot of light there and a lot of what looks like buildings there in this circle of light. We can see that it's brightest in the center and that the light fades out toward the edges. Now, in other words, it dissipates out toward the edges, which is what you would expect from ambient lighting, ambient being from, you know, localized lighting at ground level. Okay, if we look at the lower left side of this lighted circle, there's a rectangular building there, or what looks like one. There's some kind of big, to do there in the center that's really white, bright lit. It just looks like a jumble of buildings is what it looks like to me, I think probably to most people. That is on the moon. That, if I have described it accurately, cannot be ruins. Why? Because it's lit. That's why. If it's lit, there have to be lights. If there are lights, they have to be maintained. They wouldn't just light forever. So it can't be ruins. They have to be maintained in order to stay lit. And there has to be some sort of energy supply to the lights that's causing them to stay lit. And that has to be maintained. So, if I have described this accurately, those are not ruins, but currently, I would say, occupied, certainly currently in use, whatever those structures are. And it actually looks like a multi-story structure. Pretty big. Kind of has the appearance of the White House, actually. All right, now, let's take a look at the one that's off to the right. The one that's off to the right, you can see it. Well, if you look from left to right, the first one in the upper left-hand corner of this picture, we can barely see a little bit of a speck of light up there. The one that I've just talked about is in the middle, and it's lit brightly, even in this raw photograph, or this original photograph here. It's not the original photograph. The original photograph is high def, super high resolution. This is what JAXA makes available for you to download and use on websites and so forth. Okay. But it's very obviously there. The one we're going to look at now is the one on the right. And it's the second brightest, but it's not bright at all. What could that be? What could it possibly be? Well, I'm not sure what it is, but it has the look, shape, and appearance of either something kind of like a castle, something sort of like the shape of a Gothic cathedral. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about the Cayuga satellite, the Japanese Space Agency's mission to the moon. And, boy, I'll tell you what, it's a really phenomenal mission, phenomenally successful mission. All right, now, I want to go back just briefly to that second lighted area that we took a look at. And I want to show you something. You got to ask yourself, first of all, why are these areas lit up? Now, with this, you might just say, well, it might be just sort of an anomaly of the camera. This might just be something weird that happened with the camera. But I don't think you could say that at all about that first area. Now, that first area was so brightly lit, so pronounced, that you gotta say someone has the lights on, and maybe someone's home. Someone's got the lights on there. All right, now with that second one, you might say, well, I don't know, that may just be some weird anomalous feature. Okay, just a trick of lighting. Well, let's see if this trick of lighting has any substance to it. Because it looks like we're looking at some buildings, not a whole bunch of buildings, but some buildings. And the one in the lower right corner is a tall building, sort of pyramid shape, sort of peaked, and then it comes to a very sharp point at the top. So what I did was ran a little bit of a filter on this to see if these are solid shapes. And lo and behold, they are solid shapes. Now, not only are they solid shapes, and you might say, well, of course, the whole moon is a solid shape, and there's all kinds of solid shapes on the moon, right? Of course there are. But they're not all lit, and this is lit. And we can see in the last photograph what JAXA says is the last photograph taken by Cayuga before it crashed. We can see that there are three areas where the lights are on. Three. One of them is very pronounced. One of them is very dim because it's far out on the horizon. And then one that's not so far out on the horizon on the right, but it's dimly lit as well. Why are they lit? These are solid shapes. Why are they lit? Not only are they solid shapes, they are shapes that certainly give the appearance of structures. And there's lights on. Why? And if the lights are on, and this is not brightly lit, it's kind of like they got the night lights on here on this picture. But if the lights are on, that means these have to be currently in use by someone. What or who is using them? All right, I'm going to open up the telephone lines, and I'm going to invite you to participate in the conversation. Perhaps you will have something else you want to talk about, but I wanted to share that with you. And I invite you, actually, to go to the JAXA website. The JAXA website is arranged a little bit strangely, but you will find the pictures. You will find some videos to watch as well. And these pictures are from the JAXA website, except I've zoomed in on them, but you can find them right there, okay? Now, the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. And if you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I know that telephone number is an international long-distance call for you, and those can be expensive. And so if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I invite you to participate by using our flash message feature if you don't want to make the international call. If you're in Canada and the USA, give us a call. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Haya from Victoria, British Columbia.
Hello, Haya.
Hi. Well, you are right. They are buildings, and they're being lived in. And we have bases on the moon as well as on Mars. I spent a lovely few days at the end of June with Mr. Bob Dean, and we have listened to his discussion, and we are so far let's put it this way. The secret government is way far ahead as far as technology. They're over 100 years ahead of us. Why do they keep us in the dark? Because of control.
Yeah, well, I don't have any doubt whatsoever that the real state, the real status of technology is way, way ahead of what us peons here on Earth get to know about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's way beyond us. It sure is. By the way, do you take the K-Files?
Yes, I do.
Did you see in the K-Files, this last edition, the video of the 3D copy machine, or as Star Wars calls it, Star Trek calls it, a replicator? Did you see that?
No, I haven't managed to get onto that yet at the present time.
We now have a replicator.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, you just take an object, scan it, and the machine fabricates it. It's like a copy machine. Just boom, there it is. It fabricates it for you. And they did a crescent wrench. Yeah.
Oh.
So, see, a lot of that stuff that's way, way, way ahead is beginning to show up like that. It's beginning to show up down here where us peons live. That means that what they actually have is way beyond that.
Well, when you realize that they had been bilocating back in the 60s, that they've had technology, I think Kennedy had a suspicion of, about this type of technology.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of the military had this as well, and children that were part of DARPA knew as well, because they were in a bilocating program where they were being bilocated to different periods, different times, and different places as well, such as the moon and Mars. So I have talked to a few very reputable men. Personally, I would... they have, none of them have anything to lose by telling the truth.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, it shows up the people that want to contain the truth, because the harder they try to hold on to stop people from knowing, the more the truth's going to come out. I guess people don't realize that.
It gets
to the point where it gets to its peak, and then voila, things start coming out. One thing after another after another. And I would suspect that there's going to be a lot more coming out as the time progresses into the new year.
Mm-hmm. Well, it works kind of like an orange. You know, let's say you've got someone holding an orange, and they don't want you to know that there's orange juice in this orange. So you start snooping around the orange, and they hold it tighter. And that makes you more curious, and you sort of snoop around a little bit more, and they hold it tighter and tighter and tighter. And guess what happens? Eventually, they squeeze the juice right out of the orange. And what they were trying to hide, they force into the open. And that's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. Hiya, thanks for the call.
You're welcome, and have a good, great evening.
Thank you. You too. All right, the telephone lines are open for you, 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
I want you to take another look at that last picture.
Okay.
It's in color.
I colorized it.
You colorized it?
Yes. I added, all I did is I told the program to add a color to the shades of gray so that we could see the shapes. Yeah.
Okay.
However, let me tell you this. If you will look, are you looking at your screen right now?
Yeah.
The original that I used to zoom up, the original is in the upper left-hand corner. And I did not colorize that. And it has a little bit of a bluish-green tint to it. Do you see that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I was looking at the other one, the middle one. It has kind of a greenish tinge around the edges of it.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I did nothing to this one except I enlarged it. I zoomed in on it. And it, actually, if you'll look at the original from which I worked, you can see just barely that those colors are there. But it's kind of a greenish tint around the edges where the light's beginning to fade out.
Blue spots.
Yeah, that too. But the only thing I did to this one was adjust the contrast.
Mm-hmm.
So that we could see some of the features that you can't see without the contrast adjusted. What do you think that is?
That one right there, I don't know. I would say possibly streetlights, except it's too solid.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the structural luminous itself.
It may be. In the original, if you look at the one at the top in the upper left-hand corner, you will see that there's a very bright area sort of on the top near the middle.
Yeah.
And if I go back to the JAXA image, it's very prominent. You can see that. And I'm wondering if that might be what's radiating most of that light. I don't know.
I don't know. But that's, my guess is that for some reason somebody got to when they grayscaled almost all the images.
Yeah. You know, they're using the best cameras that were ever flown to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it's the Japanese. Come on, these people do photography. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. these people build the best cameras, some of the best cameras in existence. And they sent the best cameras that have ever gone to the moon. They sent them on Cayuga. And you know they had to get color photographs. Had to be.
Yeah.
So.
Now, how would we find the Cayuga website?
It's the JAXA website. JAXA. Yes. Just Google JAXA. And within the JAXA website, you will find the Cayuga pages.
Okay, but what, do you have the address?
No, nope, just Google JAXA, J-A-X-A.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. The moon has some ticks, does it not? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Looking at that light, it appears to be a city on the backside of the moon. I mean, a working city, you know, an occupied city.
That's what it looks like.
As far as the lighting goes, it almost appears to be like landscape lighting. You know how people shine lights on the front of their houses to reflect the light
mm-hmm.
on the front? Because if it was inside, it would seem like the light would project out towards us as we're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, when they talk about Area 51 and underground bases and stuff, they have this ambient lighting or something that no one seems to really be able to explain. They just say, it appears out of nowhere and it lights things up and it doesn't even cast a shadow.
Yeah. So, what do you think? You think this is a base that is it's humans?
I think it's a city.
Okay.
A small city, a working, if you want to call it a base, you could use that term, an outpost, definitely. And how long was this Cayuga mission to the moon?
Ooh, I don't know. I think it was, I don't know. That's not something that I looked into. I just looked at their pictures. I think it was up there about 18 months, but I'm not sure.
18 months. So they obviously have to have more pictures because it would have circled the front and back.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And this was a planned crash on the moon.
Yes.
Why do you think they would do that? I mean, it seems like you could almost stay in orbit around.
I don't know. There was some kind of tests that they were going to monitor as it crashed or something. I'm not sure what their reasoning was for crashing it, but it was a planned crash, and they sent it right down to the surface. And actually, if you read the narrative that goes with the picture that's on their website, now the picture that's on their website is, are you looking at your screen right at the moment, right now?
Yes, I am.
This
yes,
is the picture that I took off of their website. Now, this picture has a narrative that goes with it. And the narrative says that Cayuga crashed just beyond these things, just beyond its point right here where it took the picture. So I don't know why they crashed it. Maybe they crashed it right into one of these cities. I don't know.
Do you think the occupants would have had to been aware of the Cayuga mission? And, you know, even if the moon is somewhat hollow, as people claim, would have had to heard the impact, especially at this range. It seems, you know, not that far.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the Japanese would have been putting those people at risk.
Well, unless they had some sort of prearrangement, some sort of agreement.
Well, it seems awful close for comfort, though.
It does. It seems... I mean, you know, this would be something akin to maybe one of these folks crashing something, say, oh, I don't know, outside of Roswell. You know?
Uh-huh.
Could be.
Maybe payback, huh?
It might be. Oh, mercy. Thank Jerome, you, thank you for the call, man.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye. Yeah, well, you know, there are people who say and have said on this show that Roswell was a planned crash. I've always wondered about that, but I mean, shoot, we do it. You know, we crashed the lunar landing module back into the moon. We crashed La Crosse into the moon. Cayuga was crashed into the moon. We do it. So... who knows? Maybe Roswell was a planned crash. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. I'd like to know what you think about this. I mean, these are some amazing photographs from the Cayuga satellite, from the Japanese space agency, JAXA. You know, the first photograph that we took a look at, I said, looks like ruins. And I'd like to know what you think about that one as well. Do you see the things in this photograph that I talked about? Do you see the, for instance, do you see what I said looks like rail cars lined up? I'm not saying it is rail cars, but it looks like that. It has that appearance. Do you see that? Do you see the thing that I said looks like a rocket that's been blurred out? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
Yes, my name's Tom. I'm from Brooklyn.
Hello, Tom.
I can't watch it. It's not you. It's my computer. It's very old.
Sorry about
crash
that.
Crash if I tried to load the page. But I've been listening from the beginning. And my question is, what about... about a year ago, you were sticking up for those guys.
For NASA?
Decent folks there. And maybe they're trying kind of sideways disclosure thing. They're not doing any of that. So I say good riddance.
Okay, well, this is not NASA. This is the Japanese Space Agency, JAXA.
Yeah, they're getting you served by somebody else.
Okay. I still stick up for NASA in theory. And what I say is, okay, yes, they have lied to us and have been caught. Yes, they doctor the photographs and have been caught red-handed. No question about it, they have doctored photographs. That's true. But here's another thing that's true. The U.S. Air Force is not releasing any photographs at all to us. of the Moon and Mars and Venus and Jupiter and Mercury and all the galaxies. That's coming from NASA. And we can't hear you. We can't hear you. We can't hear you. You're very muffled now.
Oh, I'm sorry. My understanding is that everything is getting pulled from public access.
Yeah. I think...
No longer are.
Okay, look, is there anything you can do about your audio? It's very, very muffled now.
Oh, I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's a lamp.
Well, I think I know your argument, and I understand it. Yes, they're being paid with public money. So is the president. Does he always tell you the truth? So does your senator and congressman. Do they always tell you the truth? The fact is, if it's government, it lies to you and it gets paid to do it. Now, they don't lie all the time, but they lie frequently and they get paid for it. And NASA is just part of that system. But the point is, we do get some photographs from them. We do get some data from them that I guarantee you, if you get rid of NASA, the data stream dies right then, right there. The military has satellites up that they used to allow scientists to get data from the satellites about incoming objects coming in towards the Earth. And they were using that just that data from those satellites. In January of this year, the military said, you know what? No more. Boom. That's it. And now they don't get that data. And without NASA, as bad as they are, they're the best thing we have going out in the public because there's nobody else that's going to talk to us.
Okay. If you say so, but I still think the Indians or the Japanese or Chinese or even the Europeans.
Well, yeah. However, there's far, far less information coming from those agencies because they are much, 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 much smaller and not running near as many missions as NASA runs. And so, you know, if it comes from NASA, we have to, you know, it's kind of like Ronald Reagan used to say about the Russians during the end of the Cold War, trust but verify. Well, I say listen, but then verify. And very often we can verify they're not telling us the truth. However, it's also true that very often when they are not speaking the truth to us and we catch them at it, they are releasing the photographs that prove they're lying. And they release the photographs that prove they're not telling the truth. Tom, I got to run. A break has taken over. But thank you for the call. We'll be back, folks, right after this.
From Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada. When a topic in history or science or the paranormal is too outré or controversial for conventional media, where can we go for information? To the Kevin Smith Show, of course. I'm a big fan.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and our discussion this evening about the pictures from JAXA. Pictures of the moon. Telephone lines are open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. I'd like to know what you think about it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Debbie San Antonio.
Hello, Debbie.
Could we go back to that very first picture you had up earlier?
Yeah, go ahead. What's on your mind about that?
Well, I called a little earlier and left a message. I was hoping you'd get it before you came back online. But if you can bring it up, I'll point out
it's up.
Something I saw.
Yeah, it's up.
Well, I'm not seeing it here.
Yeah, there's a delay. Just go ahead and describe what you saw. We'll find it.
Okay, at the very top up there where you have remains of dome, there's a question mark right after that.
Uh-huh.
If you put your finger up and go about a half inch across to the right, there's a very straight white line there.
Uh-huh.
And there are two buildings that look like they're just right next to that line. Actually, the one on the bottom there looks kind of like our Capitol building. And
mm-hmm.
the one just above that.
Yeah, I see that. This thing, this picture is absolutely full of anomalies. It's full of ticks.
It is totally amazing. Totally amazing. And I just found something else I wanted to call you and your the listeners' attention to. I am actually on the Cayuga, I can't pronounce it.
Cayuga?
Jack's the website. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And it's www.cayuga.jaxa.jp/en/index.htm.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you go to that site, if you go to that page, scroll down on the very right-hand side, there's a menu called Special Feature. At the bottom of that, there's a little thing you can click on that says Moon Bell, Cayuga Lunar Sound. And this is what I was thinking, but I remember David Icke had said something to the effect that at some point, somewhere, someone, and I don't remember who or what, that when something hits the moon, it vibrates like a bell, rings like a bell.
Yeah.
And when I just saw this, it just totally amazed me. I haven't gotten to ring it yet. If you click on that, everything's in Japanese, and of course I can't read Japanese. But
well, why not?
Although it's very interesting.
Why can't you read? Why not? Why can't you read Japanese?
Well, because you haven't taught me to do that yet.
I can't read Japanese either. Yeah. Yeah, and it's very.
Soundbite on this page, but I'm not finding a soundbite here anywhere. So maybe somebody can get this thing to do it. But apparently, there's something going. Oh, there's an English link here to go to English on this page. Moon Bell transforms the topography of the moon into sound. Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, that's all. I just wanted to kind of draw your attention to that. Those buildings that I saw. They're very, very clear, and it's really mind-boggling.
Yeah,
they're
I'll tell
really
you,
good.
There's something else.
Okay.
If you look at where I said remains of the dome,
uh-huh.
Okay, on the word remains, if you look straight down under the R, about a quarter of an inch, and then turn left, that looks like some type of communications dish sitting there.
It certainly does, yep.
Yeah.
And those what you referred to is you said you thought they looked like railroad cars.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I were looking at those, and he said they look sort of circular to him.
The one at the back does. Yeah, the one at the back looks like a tanker car.
Mm-hmm.
But the one in front of it looks like it's kind of squared off.
Yeah.
So,
amazing. The ones
yeah.
White are aluminum. The ones off to the left under the red arrows are look black.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Do you see
but
what
it looks like a dismal place. I think I'd want to go there.
Do you see what I referred to? I said it's blurred out, but it's in the shape of a rocket?
Yes. I absolutely do see that.
That's
and
weird.
I can't find pictures anywhere on their site. There is a link to go to moon.jpg, but that one has been removed.
Well,
never not found.
Yeah, these pictures that I'm using are pictures that are on their site. You have to look, but they're there. There are several slideshows, and some of them are from the slideshows.
Okay. Well, I'll have to dig a little further. Well, I'll get off and let somebody else call. I just wanted to call and bring your attention to that, and I'm going to dig around here and try to figure out how to make this sound bite happen. I want to hear the bell ringing.
Okay, very good. Thanks much. I appreciate the call. 623-444-5889. You know, we live in a mysterious world, and around our mysterious world, there is a very mysterious moon. It is possible to look at photographs and, I'll put this in quotation marks, see something that isn't there. But it's also the case, and we know it's the case, and we have seen and we've watched this happen time and time again. People see something that really is there, and the so-called experts set about the business of trying to convince you that you did not see it. You've heard me use this example before. It's a good example. Have you ever seen a cow? Well, of course you have. You've seen cows. You know what a cow looks like when you see one. You never looked at a cow and said, "Oh, I think that's a basketball." When you see a cow, it's a cow. All right. How successful would someone be if they tried to convince you it's not a cow, it's a Cadillac? You'd probably get pretty incensed after a while. You'd probably, you know, get pretty ticked off yourself and, you know, it's just nonsense. That's not a Cadillac, that's a cow. We see things in the photographs that NASA gives us, the photographs that JAXA gives us, that the ESA gives us. We see things in the photographs. And if it looks like a cow, walks like a cow, chews its cud like a cow, it's a cow, it's not a Cadillac. And they come along and tell us it's a Cadillac. Well, you know, it's time they wake up and understand we're not fooled by that. We know what a Cadillac looks like, and we know what a cow looks like. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
I'm just listening in on the show tonight, and it sounds really interesting. I mean, I don't, you know, have the pictures and stuff up in front of me, but I can imagine, I mean, I can picture what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of diverting a little bit away from what you're talking about, but it still has to do with the moon.
Okay.
I think there was one show you had where you were talking about NASA and the Apollo series and everything, where NASA went in and doctored up the pictures and stuff, and I thought it was just really interesting when the astronauts were pretty much told, when they saw these, you know, these different installations and stuff by other star beings, and they were basically told to leave and never come back to the moon. And I mean, I was just discussing that in a chat room that I have on Pal Talk the other night. We were kind of talking about that, and everybody thought that was interesting. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up.
Yeah, there's also a there is an audio recording out there of where an astronaut starts to describe what he's looking at. And the ground controller says, "Yeah, we know about that. We know about that. Go back the other way. Go back the other way." Okay? And so we don't know really what he was about to describe, but whatever it was had NASA's ground controller creating a cleaning bill.
Like a diversion or something?
No, creating a cleaning bill. He was having a fit.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let me ask you this, Kevin. I just want to, sort of like Brent, I want to throw this at you. Do you think that in addition to the bases that we have there, that maybe on the opposite side of the moon, say maybe in one of the polar regions, there might be other bases? I mean, not only from the United States, but I mean like maybe the Russians or the Chinese or something like that we may not know about?
Well, I'm sure there are installations that we don't know about all over this planet and probably other planets. And the moon, of course, we call it the moon, but it's a planet-sized object. It would not surprise me if there are bases of various nations all over that place. But since the 60s, it has been alleged, actually since the late 50s, 1958, it's supposed to be a joint U.S.-Russian base. And then my understanding is there is a U.S. base, and there is a Russian base, and then there's a joint base, and then there's a joint base between us, the Russians, and extraterrestrials, and it could be that others are there.
See, this is very fascinating to me. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'll try to do a remote view thing or something and see if I can peek in on those installations.
Yeah, look, if you ever get a chance to get your hands on a book by Ingo Swann? That book is called Penetration, and it's where he penetrates the moon with remote viewing.
And I'm definitely going to have to get that book.
Yeah, you want to read that book. The problem is,
If
you can find a copy of it, it'll cost you about $800.
Really?
Yes, it's that rare. But if you find somebody that's got one, and you can con them into letting you borrow it, be sure you read it.
Why is it why is it difficult to find?
It's out of print.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, and he no longer is writing and lecturing on that, and he no longer is doing radio or TV interviews.
Well, it sounds like he's kind of become like a recluse or something.
No, I don't think that's the case. No, part of his life is over. That's it. He's done with that. Okay. He's moved on.
Well, maybe he's getting ready for 2012 or something.
Could be. Could be. He's a good friend of Jerry Wills.
Yeah, speaking of which, I'm sure you know Jerry moved. I mean, I just found out from Brent today that Jerry's in Flagstaff, but I'm coordinating a Jerry's workshop to be here in Columbus.
Uh-huh.
So it will be taking place next month, the 19th and 20th of next month.
Well, good luck with that.
I can't wait to meet Jerry.
Yeah, well, as short as you are, you're going to have to get a stepladder just to get up and shake his hand.
Well, how tall is he?
Like almost 7 feet tall.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
You're short like my mom. You're really, and you're going to have to get a stepladder to get up there and shake his hand.
I probably will, Kev. I probably will. I don't think elevator lifts in my shoes or anything like that is going to help.
Okay, Debbie, thanks for the call. We have a break taking over. We'll be back, folks, right after this. So do not go away, all right? Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We got a couple of flash messages from listeners abroad, and I want to get to those. Paul in Australia writes, Hi, Kevin. Why doesn't Richard Branson send up a camera and charge people $100 each for a live view of the moon? Disclosure will be done by someone like him one day. I hope so, anyway. Not a bad idea, but I bet you if Branson does it, it'll be like $10,000 for a view, because it's going to be like $250,000 to ride on his rocket. So, but that's okay. I mean, you know, there are people that would spend $10,000 to get a live view of the moon like that. Not a bad idea. Thank you, Paul. We have a flash message from Umberto in Mexico. He says, Hi, Kevin. Great show as usual. Just my two cents. By now you know that JAXA images are not photographs. If you're familiar with the term DEM, digital elevation models, you can tell that these are models that simulate images. And exactly that is what they do. For how long, that I do not know. Structures, sure. Probably bases, sure. Yeah, you're right. It's just like when we look at what we call a photograph, that we say it's a radar photograph. No, it's not. It's not a photograph. It's an image that simulates what the radar signal experienced. And it translates the radar signal into something that our eyes can recognize. Okay? So, yeah, you're right. Although these are not radar. And that's why you can, because of what he's just talked about here, it's why when you go to the JAXA website, you will see some movies, some videos, and it looks like they fly right down into a crater and fly around some of the features. Not this crater that we're talking about, but they do some of the craters. That's how they can do that, because it is a digital elevation model. And so they can manipulate it and turn it and so forth very easily. You're right. Está correcto, exactamente. Humberto de México. Thank you for that flash message. Now, we have time for one more call if you call right now. And there is the call. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Jeff.
Hello, Jeff.
Tennessee.
From Tennessee. All right. What's on your mind, Jeff?
Yeah, it certainly looks like a city to me.
Are you talking about the one with the where I said the lights are on and maybe somebody's home?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, that looks like the White House sitting there in the middle of it.
Yeah, I think it's a town of Yerry.
A town of what?
The town of Yerish.
Yerish?
Yerish.
Okay, I don't get it.
He was a moon god back in the Canaanite time.
Oh, okay. So this may be his capital city here.
Oh, it could be. It seems to have been a lot of old writings, and people were enamored with the moon.
Yep. Okay, explain something to me, if you will. How is this thing being lit?
I would imagine that they've either got some sort of generators up there.
We don't see a beam of light coming down from above. So, what do you think?
I would say it would have to be lit on the surface somehow.
Yeah.
White, something like that.
Uh huh. Yeah, I don't know, but whatever. It looks like a small city. And there's a huge complex in this small city. Two of them. There's a huge complex dead center, and it's all white. And to the right of that, it looks like there are two big buildings of some kind on the kind of the edge of the lighted area. And I don't know, man. It's weird stuff.
Well, that one particular picture didn't it have a couple different light spots in it?
Yeah. It has some spots that are very white, very light, but you don't see a glare like from a light bulb or something like that. So I don't know how it's being lit. But, you know,
hard to tell. Some extraterrestrial technology, obviously.
Well, if it is technology, it is extraterrestrial because it's not on this planet. But it may be of extraterrestrial origin as well. And then again, it might have been manufactured at GE.
Yeah, GE may have a big long extension cord going up there as far as we're, for all we know.
They might. They might. You never know. Somehow it is lit, and you. If I were betting, I would say those are buildings. I mean,
they certainly look like it to me.
But I can't tell. Okay, if it's a building, if these are built, not a building, it's a bunch of them. But if these are buildings, I can't tell from their configuration what sort of a facility this would be. I just can't. I don't know. But it certainly looks like facility. It looks like buildings. It definitely does not look like something that was formed naturally and geologically.
I would bet, though, that somebody on this planet could answer that question.
Yeah, I bet the Cayuga flight controllers know exactly what that is because they crashed out there just beyond that. So I bet they know what it is. I bet they flew right over it. As a matter of fact, if we look at their picture that they took, it looks like they were headed right straight for the right edge of that thing. And, I mean, that's where the center of the camera lens would be. And I bet they got some good close-up photographs of it. And they're not showing them to us. They're telling us this is the last photograph they took. So.
Well, it's like I said, the reason that they crashed over there is because they knew where the water main was.
Oh, you know, you're not right, Jeff. You're just not right. All right, I appreciate the call, and I've got to run because we are running up against the end of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, more mysteries all the time. Mysteries, this time, from the moon. You know, just when we think we've seen it all, we see something else. Just when we think we've heard it all, we hear something else. If we pay attention, we learn, and we grow. If we don't pay attention, we stagnate. And next year, we're still sitting in the same cesspool we were in this year. So, we try to give you opportunities here at the Kevin Smith Show. Opportunities every night to learn something you didn't know, and to grow. Look, it's important for all of us. Every single one of us needs to learn and to grow every day in order to make progress. If we only make a centimeter of progress, we still make progress. That's it for tonight. That's a wrap. Tomorrow, James Horak will be my guest. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.